Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Help us fight censorship by hitting the thumbs up, subscribe, and if you ring the bell, you'll get notification of all our new videos that we put up. We're going to have a very, very, mamma mia, interesting conversation today. I have with me the dating advice girl, Erin Kilman. She is the author of the Consent Guidebook. All right, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
And so you're walking down the road one day.
Yeah.
And an apple fell on your head.
Right, uh-huh.
And you decide, I'm going to be a dating coach.
Kind of, sort of. I've been doing this for about 12 years. So I've been in the industry of dating for a little bit of time. It started off as a blog. Now, this is how old I am, right? I look young, but I've been doing this for a while. So I started before blogs were blogs.
Wow.
So I created a website. I was just writing my opinion about why is there such a disparity or all these double standards between men and women when it comes to dating and sex, right? It was like, dudes, just go do whatever. Women, oh, shame, right? And so I started writing my opinions, and apparently I struck a nerve. Cut to people asking me to like write my opinion about being a single girl in Los Angeles dating, right? And this is before Tinder. So before all these dating apps now that are so popular, I was out there writing about it. Cut to a radio show invited me to do my own show on their platform about dating. And then TV stuff started. And then, you know, I wrote a book a couple years ago. Well, I should go back. The Me Too movement happened. Me Too, hashtag Me Too. I started integrating more consent and boundaries and awareness around that into my brand, wrote a book, and so many things in between. But here,
amazing.
I worked as a matchmaker. I worked as a matchmaker, which was a hilarious experience.
It's amazing how one thing leads to another one, huh?
Yeah. So not an apple falling on my head, but a lot of funny things.
Yeah. And so you are what they call an inclusive dating coach.
Yes.
What does that mean, inclusive dating coach?
So a lot of dating coaches, first of all, in Los Angeles, there are, a lot of us know each other. We've all been doing it for a little while. A lot of the dating coaches that I know mainly focus on heterosexual, cisgendered, matrimonial-minded dating, which is totally fine. I have zero judgment around that. But then there's a lot of people, especially in the big city, who are doing things a little different. You know, there's some people who are, well, there's the LGBT community, you know. There's people who are polyamorous. There are people who are into all different lifestyles. And so I say inclusive because I want singles to feel like they can come to me without judgment.
Oh, I see.
And also, I know a lot of these lifestyles I'm speaking about. So also, it's good to have a coach that kind of knows who you are and what your lifestyle is and what you're going through. And I'd like to think that's me. There's things I don't know. I don't know everything, but I know more than, say, someone who's only seeking out, let's say, a mainstream vanilla relationship.
Oh, I got you. And so do you give dating advice to transgender people?
I do.
And define transgender. What is that?
So, since I'm not transgender, a transgender person could explain it better than I could. But the trans people in my life are people who, from birth, from a very young age, felt like they did not match up with the gender they were assigned at birth as. So, you know, you come out of your mother, it's a boy.
Right.
And some people feel like they don't fit that. And they were labeled that because of body parts and certain anatomy things.
Oh,
but they feel a certain way. You know, just really quickly on that topic, I have some very, I'm actually dating somebody who is transgender.
You are?
Yes, female to male. And
what?
Yes. And
what's that like?
New experiences. So I'd only dated somebody who, I've only dated cisgendered men. So men who were born as a boy feel like boys. That's all I dated growing up through my life.
Right.
But I've always had people in my life of all everything, right? And obviously I'm someone who's not judgmental. And I met this person. If you met them, you would look at them. He's 6'2", ex-military, very masculine looking. You would never know that he's transgender unless he told you. And so he's what you call stealth in public. And I met him, and I'm like, this person is so attractive. And he actually looks like a lot of exes of mine. And so there's some slight differences, but not really. And so it's been a really interesting journey for me in terms, well, first of all, being a dating coach, right? It's I have so much to say about this experience and this relationship, but also it's an interesting place to be in, to just be attracted to a human. And also, whatever, even though I think I'm so open-minded and thought I was so open-minded and so woke and had all these friends, it's a different thing. You're posed with a lot of different questions about yourself and what you thought about yourself and how you judge others and think about others when you're presented with somebody who totally is different from what you expected to meet.
So you are dating a woman who thinks that she's a man?
I won't agree. That's not a correct statement. I'm dating someone who was assigned female at birth.
When you say assigned, meaning that God assigned this person as a female?
I wouldn't say it like that either. But when my boyfriend was born, they were like, "It's a girl."
And this girl had a VJ.
I won't talk about genitalia. Yeah, that's just.
Well, let's assume they had one.
You can make whatever assumption you'd like. Sure.
And then at some point, this girl felt like a guy.
So let me say this. Everyone's journey is a little bit different.
Right.
I have some other transgender people in my life who, grew up feeling differently than, say, you know, my boyfriend felt. He's always felt very masculine. So I can't say that there were ever, like, feelings of, oh, I feel like a girl. I've not ever heard him say that.
Right.
So, yeah, but everyone's journey is so different with that, you know? Like, he transitioned later in life. I don't want the interview to only be about him.
Of course.
It is a part of my life.
And help us to understand why you...
A million percent, yeah.
And so when you first
met... He's a lovely person.
When you first met met this person,
mm-hmm.
did you think it was a woman or a guy when you first saw
him? Looks like what we think a man looks like.
And how did you discover it wasn't a man?
He was straight up honest.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah, there was... See, that's the thing it's a shame about what's happening in society. Right now, I feel like there's a lot of fear because people feel like they're going to be tricked.
Right.
Or, oh, no, surprise. And no, from the beginning, he was like, before our first date, we met on a dating app. And before our first date, he messaged me and he was like, before we meet, I want to make sure you know that I'm trans. And he said it on his profile. I said, yeah, I said, I think I, a transmasculine was the word he used. I said, I think I know what that means. I have some transgender friends in my life. And he's like, I just want to make sure that you have all the information before we meet,
which I appreciated, right? Absolutely.
He checked in with me and then he walked through the door again, 6'2", muscular, ex-military. And actually, we just went through a really scary experience a couple weeks ago. I was in my neighborhood. We were getting breakfast, and a guy came up to us. My boyfriend's white. A guy came up to us.
Your boyfriend is white?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This guy came up from around. I saw him, my boyfriend, look behind me. We were talking. He kissed me because he was about to go fly away for a business thing. This other person came behind me, a foot from my face, looked in my eyes and said, no one wants to see a nigger kissing, and then spit on both of us. And my boyfriend jumped into action and put his body literally in between me and this guy who was, I don't know, he was coming at me.
Right.
That was another interesting thing of, like, I think people have a specific idea or vision of what someone who's a different gender or, you know, all these things does. But he snapped into action to protect me in a moment's notice, you know?
Amazing.
More than, like, any cisgender guy I've dated in my life, you know?
Wow.
It's like,
cisgender means a straight guy, heterosexual man.
Cisgender meaning born a boy, feels like a boy, man.
Oh, okay.
Yes, like you're a cisgendered man.
Heterosexual guy.
No, not necessarily. It just means that you feel like your gender. But, like, sexual orientation and, like, you know, you can be cisgendered and be gay or you can be cisgendered and be straight.
Amazing.
So you just feel like, I'm a cisgendered woman. I feel like a woman born a girl.
Well, being a heterosexual man, there is no feeling to it at all. You just is.
But see,
you are a man, but there's no feeling.
But transgender people like would say only that, too.
It seems as though, from talking to people,
mm-hmm.
the only time the feelings come with identity is when you've been traumatized.
Not all the time. I mean, I've known a lot of gay people in my life growing up at a small age, and it's not necessarily that. It's just a different feeling. Like you said, there's a feeling you have, like you feel like a man.
No, there is no feeling to a man.
But you don't have any masculine feeling.
No. Real men don't have feelings. They only have feelings if they've been traumatized, and so they try to make themselves feel like what they think a man feels.
You're saying no emotion?
No, men are not feeling. They're logical.
You know what? This is really, I love this. Okay, so, Kobe passed. I have never seen so many men cry
Beta.
And show emotion when that man died.
No, with beta
tragically,
males.
Tragically, right? What's that?
No, with beta males.
I'm sorry? Beta males.
Yes.
I've
beta.
Seen.
Beta!
Okay, no, I, yeah. You know what? But it's, you know what? I'm not a man, so I can't speak to that. But what I can speak to is that I was very moved by the level of emotion that was shown by guys I've never seen cry in my life. Guys
Amazing.
Who were super muscular, what people would think, you know, like dudes who are like boxers and like, you know, like I have a lot of athletes in my life,
right.
You know, people like that who were just like bawling for like a week. So, I mean, I don't know.
That's
I mean,
a sad story.
But again, Jesse, you're talking to somebody who, you know, on so many levels, I don't think there's one way people are. I know for myself, I don't fit any stereotypes. I could tell you, there's not going to be enough time.
I want to go back real fast
to
the story
with
your boyfriend thing so we can move on.
Okay.
And so you had never been with a transgender male person before, right?
No.
Before that time.
Correct.
And so he comes over to your place.
Uh-huh.
And you decide.
I might not answer this question, but go ahead. I'll be honest with you, though. Yeah.
Of course. And so you decide, you know what, even though I know what this is, mm-hmm. let me adjust my mind to go along with it. How was that for you to know that?
Mm-hmm.
Had they had the surgery done in
order? I won't get into anything about it.
How did you decide to pretend it was a man, even though in your mind you knew what it was?
Well, there was no pretending, because it's human beings, and I was attracted to this person. And, you know, I will say, I mean, there was definitely some element of surprise because I had not dated someone like him before.
Right, yeah.
In some ways. But I'm telling you, Jesse, this person that I met, my boyfriend, when I met him, I mean, he was so on brand with, like, almost all of the guys I dated in my life in terms of his energy, in terms of his presence, kind of the way he looks. Like, he wasn't that different. I mean, and so in that way, it wasn't like a huge adjustment. I will say that, you know, I am somebody, again, who maybe is more open-minded than most, but it wasn't this huge, like, okay, I need to, like, change my brain so that I can,
right.
like, love this person. It wasn't like that.
You're unusual for a black person because normally black people don't accept that kind of stuff. You know, they don't just accept anything that comes along.
I don't know. I can't speak for all black people, but I know a lot of black people who are in the LGBTQ rainbow who do a lot of things and I also know some very straight black people too, but I know what you mean. I think in the black, and that's a whole other conversation, I think in the black community there is less acceptance and sometimes more resistance. There's a lot of tradition. There's, you know, religion comes into play with a lot of things. But there's also, Jesse, I've seen, especially being a dating coach for 12 years, there's so much shame attached to how people feel and how people want to live their lives based on how their families are going to treat each other, how community sees them, how, you know, religion might judge somebody, that people aren't living their truth a lot of times. Yeah. And they're not happy. Let's go back to being a dating coach. For me, any client that comes to me, I do some speaking at colleges too around dating safety, and say there's like a 17 or 18 year old that I'm talking to, and they're like, you know, I want to be this, but I'm nervous because I don't want to say something to my parents. And this is not necessarily about being gay or anything like that, but maybe someone, you know, maybe someone just doesn't want to get married. But there's so much pressure, or have kids, and there's pressure around, you know, this what we call the relationship escalator of meet someone, date someone, marriage, kids, whatever. Because that's the pattern, and especially American society, if someone doesn't want to do that, there's so much judgment attached. And there's so much shame attached to maybe not doing something the way your parents want you to do it or society wants, that people, I could get into a whole thing about it. But so my thing is to encourage and empower people to live however they feel is right for them, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Right.
That's my goal.
So one last question about your boyfriend.
Okay, let's go.
Do you take him around your family, your black family?
Yeah. Cousin from Indianapolis came into town to celebrate her birthday last year, and she brought all of her friends, and it was like her and her four black girlfriends and me and my white transgender boyfriend. And he could hang. He's from South Texas. Like, he's around, like, ethnic people all the time, so it's not a big deal. He can hang.
But did they know it wasn't a real man?
Yeah, they know. I will not accept those words.
Which word?
But they, real man.
Oh.
But they loved him. They loved him.
And they knew the deal, the whole deal.
They know certain things, but, you know, like my cousin, she's family, so I might tell her more than I'll tell someone I just met.
Oh, okay.
You know? And because here's the thing. It's up to him. It's up to me. It's up to the individual to tell whoever they want to tell about them and their journey. Like, Jesse, like, I don't know your journey fully. I could never, even if we sat for 3 hours and talked, right? So it would be unfair for me to be like, oh, Jesse's this, Jesse's that. Yeah. That's just not my place.
I got you. So, speaking of shame, when people are wrong, are they ashamed of being wrong because inwardly they know they're wrong, or are they ashamed of being wrong because are they concerned about what others think?
I mean, it depends on, I guess, what topic it is, right? I mean, for me, I feel like shame generally comes, it depends. Are you doing something to harm somebody, or are you doing something that isn't harming someone, but you're afraid of what other people are going to think, you know, or if they're going to judge you? I think that shame can be helpful if you're doing something bad or hurtful to someone.
How about a transgender person? They know, inwardly, they all know it's wrong. They just don't know how to overcome it.
I don't agree with that, and so I can't go down that line.
But let me just say, inwardly, they know it's wrong, but they don't know how to overcome it. And so there is a shame about it.
No, there's
not. Is
that
the inward
shame
or outward shame?
There's the people I know who are transgender don't have shame.
They have lost all shame?
There's no shame attached because that's who they feel they are. If that's who you feel you are.
How did they get rid of the shame of it?
You would have to ask a transgender person. You should invite one on your show, actually.
I have, and I will.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you ever asked, how did you overcome the shame of it?
But really, I'm not transgender, so I don't feel comfortable answering any more questions about that experience. It's not fair. I don't know enough.
Right.
You know, I'm still learning myself, you know?
What do transgenders need from you? What type of help they need from you?
It's not even specific to that. It's more like I coach people who are cisgendered, who are straight, who are gay, who are trans, who are, you know, all non-binary, who are polyamorous, I actually don't really focus on that when I'm coaching people. It's more about what does this human being want, you know? Because bottom line, Jesse, everyone just wants to find someone that accepts them and wants to love them. And they could have fun times with and smile with and all these things, right?
Yeah.
So that's the basis. That really, where it does come down to what I do help in terms of the coaching is where can you find other people? So, you know, I don't want to get too deep into this because, again, it could be its own thing. But if somebody came to me and was like, I'm interested in dating this type of person, then I point them in the direction or, you know, certain dating apps, certain meetup groups, certain things where they can meet people that they're looking for.
Let's say that you get a request from a transgender person.
Okay.
And they say, I'm looking for a tall, straight, handsome, straight guy.
Okay.
And who is that they can be with, right? What would you recommend?
There's a lot of different apps that you can go on that you, it's more, see, that's the thing. How about this? I would point them to, there's a couple apps that are very inclusive in terms of gender. And I would point them in the direction of those apps or certain groups I know that are inclusive. Now it's up to those two people to have conversations around right. gender, identity, sexual orientation.
So when they made the request of what they're looking for, mm-hmm. you
I put them
you
in a
point
general
them
direction.
Toward the app for
right.
it.
Like oh, when I was you. A matchmaker, an app or a meetup group, or there's certain parties at different bars on certain nights.
Oh, okay.
But when I was like, when I was a matchmaker, you know, my job was to, it was more high end. Like it was like people would pay thousands of dollars, right? To hire me or one of the other coaches to basically match them up with, you know, everyone that they put on their profile they wanted, what kind of person. So if somebody is on there and they're like, I will only date, you know, a straight cisgendered person that's this tall and all these things, like it's my job to find someone who fits that. You know, right. I would never set them up with someone who didn't fit that. Description.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I interview other transgender and homosexuals mm-hmm. and lesbians and all yeah. that kind of stuff, right? And I noticed that they all, so far, they all have said mm-hmm. they don't want another transgender person or another homosexual or lesbian.
Yeah.
They want a straight person.
Interesting.
Why is that?
I don't know. And I can't answer that. You'd have to ask. I mean, it sounds like you did ask your transgender guests, but I can't speak to that, you know?
So do you have an idea why they seem to be only attracted to the opposite?
I don't know. And again, everybody's different. I mean, you know, I know couples, let's say I know lesbian couples who where one is more masculine and one's more feminine, but I also know lesbian couples where both are very feminine. There's not one way. That's the thing. That's the thing about, you know, we're this is 2020, right? And so much is changing, and we are all, there's a learning curve. We're all learning about a lot of these things. You know, there's a lot of people I know of various orientations and genders who are still learning about themselves currently. You know, I think it's an important time to give people space to learn, you know, and to teach each other when it's not too much labor. Because also it's really important, like, for example, Jesse. Like, I grew up in an all-white town in Ohio, okay? Oh, okay. Small town, conservative town. And I was the only black person a lot of people had met, like, and was friends with, you know, a lot of the images they learned about black people was from media, which we know is skewed a lot of times in a negative way. And so, you know, they would sometimes ask me questions, and still do sometimes, they'll ask me questions about black people this, do black people do this, or, you know, that, whatever. So, you know, I don't mind answering those questions. To a point. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes I just want to live my life, right? It's like sometimes can I just be a human being
Amazing.
Walking in this world? And that's literally what people of different genders want, people of different orientations want. People just want to relax and be able to just walk in this world without feeling like they're going to be questioned or harmed or judged, right? I mean, that's what we all deserve, I think. As long as we're, as long as we're not hurting anybody else, right?
I think they can live that way, but they tend to impose their lifestyle upon the straight world.
Not true. I would say that most people I know in the LGBT community feel like the straight lifestyle is being imposed on them.
No, what it is, when they're trying to impose, make churches accept the same sex as normal, or make churches marry them, or straight people, that's imposed upon them, and the churches and others are fighting back. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I think that there's some churches that are, I know there are churches that are inclusive that actually welcome the LGBT community, and the ones that don't aren't the place for the LGBT people.
Right.
And so,
and they don't like that, so they try to pass laws to make those that don't want to accept it as a norm accept it. They pass laws.
Listen, as a minority, I actually heard Charles Barkley say this. He was on Ellen this week recently, and he said, because there was the bathroom bill in North Carolina, he was talking about how the NBA All-Star game was supposed to be there, and he literally said he wasn't going to do it if they kept the NBA All-Star game in North Carolina, he was not going to be a part of it because he did not agree with that bill because he felt like it was discriminatory. And I gave him so much credit for that.
What a nutcase, huh?
I thought it was great. And you know what else he said? He said that because he knows what it feels like to be discriminated against, because he's a black man, he fights for other people to not be discriminated against.
Amazing.
All people. And so, I was like, that's amazing. That's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel.
So he even fight for other people to be not to be discriminated against, even when they're wrong?
He's not gay. He doesn't feel like they're wrong.
Oh, I see.
He feels like he's fighting for someone else's freedom.
You are so interesting to me.
I know. Thanks, so Jesse. Let me ask I have you a lot this. To say. I have a lot of things to say.
I can tell. Let me ask. I want to ask this, and so much I want to get.
There's not going to be enough time.
I know, so we have to move a little faster.
Yeah.
What is it like for you personally to live in an abnormal environment as opposed to a normal heterosexual environment? How do you convince yourself that the abnormal environment is norm?
Well, I don't feel like it's abnormal. And also, Jesse, I'm a 40-year-old woman who has lived in the straight heterosexual world almost my whole life. My relationship currently is only a year old. So 39 years of my life, I lived, quote unquote, what you would call a normal lifestyle in the normal world. And actually, I felt not really comfortable all the time. And I'm not saying...
And why not?
Because I don't want to live in any place or be around people who are judgmental, who judge me and my happiness. I've had very happy relationships in the past, too. But I also feel like, I mean, there's so many paths we could go down. Again, growing up where I grew up, I think I've had, in my life, I've had more judgment thrown at me from people who are, quote unquote, religious and Christian. I've had more people who are considered to be, you know, normal, be the meanest and angriest to me and people I know. So this word normal, I kind of reject it. It kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. So I guess you could say in some ways in my life, throughout my whole life, even though things are a little, I'm having newer experiences now, my whole life I've always kind of been attracted to or drawn towards people who were quote unquote abnormal, as you would put it.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like in some ways they're more interesting. A lot of times they're more fun, Jesse.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you judge?
I don't judge people for however they live their lives. What I do judge is, I guess I do judge people who judge others.
Do you have a right to judge those who judge others?
I guess I don't. I think that I do get judgmental when someone's doing harm to somebody else. I'm like, how can someone do that to someone else? I do get judgmental in that way. And in that way, I do feel like it's justified because I'm looking out for the safety and well-being of someone else.
Do you judge the heterosexual people who know that?
No.
All this lesbian stuff and transgender is wrong. Do you judge those people for knowing that it's wrong and not accepting it as a norm?
I don't use the words right and wrong, really.
But do you judge those people for not accepting the abnormal lifestyles?
I guess disappointment is more a better word.
Do you judge them?
And sadness.
Do you judge them?
I don't judge them. I just get sad and disappointed.
And that's different than judgment?
I think so. I think sadness, I just feel bad.
And why?
Because I think that a lot of that comes from, well, A, I feel like people who are so focused on other people's lives have too much time on their hands. Because the thing is, like, I'm so busy. And I'm actually very happy. I live a life of gratitude.
Right.
I'm very grateful for all the things that I've been given and opportunities that I've had. And so I don't have time to be focused on whatever you're doing in your personal life. I really don't care as long as you're not hurting anybody.
Do they
else.
Have the heterosexual people who are not accepting this other stuff that's going on, lifestyle, do they have a right to judge it as abnormal and wrong? Do they have a right to judge?
Of course
and why
not. What right does anyone have to judge anyone else's consensual lifestyle and choice?
But why don't they have a right to say, you know what, this is wrong?
Because your opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't. Their opinion doesn't matter.
To them, it matters.
Well, they can let that matter for themselves in their own head while we're out living our lives and having fun.
I know, but do they have a right to say this is wrong? I'm not accepting.
Not to someone, no.
I'm sorry?
Not to someone's face, no.
Why not?
That would be like that dude who called me the N-word. Mm-hmm. He has the right to say that to my face. I guess he does, right? Freedom of speech. But if someone calls me a nigger to my face,
right.
I'd say that I have a problem with that.
But
I don't think it's much different than if someone were to say something how dare you be whatever you are to someone's face. I don't think that's okay ever.
Do the LGBTQ whatever people have a right to say to the people who disagree with them mm-hmm. that you don't have a right to say I'm wrong?
I don't think they ever say that. I think they're saying, please just let me live my life. But, and let me, like, not get beat up or murdered, or let me feel safe in the streets. I think that's what they're trying to say.
All stats shows that there's lots of domestic violence between lesbians
I don't,
and homosexuals.
You've got to give me some actual statistics.
Oh, it's everywhere.
No, it's not. I can't speak to that unless you give actual statistics from sources. I won't comment on that.
But it's known that lesbians and homosexuals are uncomfortable. They have a lot of guilt for being the way they are.
No, that's not
so
true.
They're like
I don't
alcoholics
know.
And drug addicts. And
I don't.
Everything.
No, that's not true. I don't know what your sources are. Sorry.
So you've never heard that before?
No.
And you don't see.
I know more straight cis people who are alcoholics and drug addicts than I do people in the LGBT community. And that's my personal people that I personally know. I don't have facts and figures to throw at you.
Do you
either?
Do you coach lesbians on how not to be violent?
No, because I've never had that happen. I've never met anyone.
So you've never seen or heard of a violent lesbian?
I've heard of violent humans, and violent humans come in all varieties.
But how about
no,
lesbians?
Specifically, no. No, specifically, no.
So you've never heard of it, nor have you seen it?
I've never seen that. If anything, women usually are less violent statistically than men. And I don't
what
have an actual...
What world are you living in?
Okay.
What world?
Physically?
Yes.
You're saying physically?
Yes.
Physically?
Yes.
All right, I need to see some statistics.
Women are more, period, whether lesbians or not, are more violent than
men.
But
this is your opinion.
It's just that men don't report it. And that's why I'm encouraging men, mm-hmm. every time you are attacked by a woman,
yeah.
whether it's lesbian, whether it's your mother, your uh-huh. grandmother, mm-hmm. your aunt, your cousin, your
yeah.
wife or girlfriend,
yeah.
make sure to call the cops right away.
Well, anytime anyone's violent, call the cops,
in jail because,
right? Anybody, regardless of gender.
Because men are not reporting women. It's time out for the okey-doke. So men need to start reporting women. Am I right?
Men need to report. What I will agree with you on is that a lot of men. So I do a lot of work around consent, right? And there's a lot of men who don't report that they've been abused
yeah.
or raped, especially if it's done by a man, like a priest. I can tell you, I have two or three specific stories in my head of men that I know that were assaulted by someone in the church.
Do you agree that men need to start having these women arrested when they verbally assault them, when they physically assault them, whether it's their mother, grandmother, aunt, cousin,
I think
girlfriend,
anyone that hurts anyone
wife,
should
wife,
do what they can to protect
so
themselves.
So should men start to report these women and have them arrested?
If a man is being harmed, absolutely. There should be
even
some authorities they're
abused
called.
Too, right?
As long as there's an equal thing with women who are verbally abused, calling the cops.
Right,
yes.
But men need to report these women when they go off like that.
Any human who's being abused.
How about
should,
men with women?
Sure.
Okay.
If they're being, yeah.
Okay.
Any human, including men, yes.
Men should report these women.
Anyone who's being harmed should report it.
How about men reporting women?
Sure.
I want to get it clear because you're the expert, and I want men to understand.
Yes.
And they, even if she has children with him, the moment she becomes mouthy or violent,
well,
he should call up the cop and say, look, come and get her.
Well, listen,
right, she just verbally abused me.
Mouthy is different than abusive.
How is mouthy different? That's what they claim men do, mouthy with them.
No, that's not true. There's a difference.
What's the difference?
A man can be mouthy to a woman. Just like, but
can
abusive
a woman,
is different.
Can a woman be verbally abused to a man?
Of course.
Mouthy, right?
Mouthy is different than abusive. That's two different things. You can be like mouthy and like kind of, or you can be abusive, throwing words and like threatening somebody.
Right.
That's very, very different.
And so men should call the cops right away.
Men should call the cops or tell somebody because. Here's the other thing you should know.
I wouldn't even tell them about it. I just call the cops.
Well, but here's the other thing. Okay, as a black man, sometimes the cops aren't the best choice.
What do you mean?
Sometimes the cops aren't going to help you depending on what it is.
If you call first, they'll help
There's
you.
A lot of people in abusive situations.
What does that mean as a
I'm telling you now. There's a lot of people in abusive situations where if they call the authorities, a lot of times you can't arrest someone. I'm sure someone out there knows the statistic more. You can't arrest someone unless there's like evidence that there's something happening. So a lot of times if you call the cops and there is an abusive thing happening, like it's hard to get an actual arrest sometimes. So then you call the cops come, and then that person who was mad is even more mad, and bad, even worse things happen sometimes to people who are actually abused. When you call the cops.
I noticed you mentioned black men, right? And
yeah.
Cops. I've noticed that other women, races of women, mm-hmm. are verbally and violent toward men, right? But black women tend to lead the way with verbal abuse and physical abuse because they are so mean. Have you noticed that?
Have I, as a black woman, noticed that?
Yeah, because they got this. You know,
I have not noticed
black
that.
Black women, they'll use a tongue like a belt.
Well, as a black woman who doesn't do that.
But you do know that black women are like that, right?
I know a lot of people who are like that.
How about black women?
I know that I'm not like that.
How about black women?
I know
women?
The women, and black women in my family don't use.
How about black women? Aren't they like rough when it comes to the mouth?
Well, they meaning
you
me?
Probably would have them no. pick up a brick and hit you rather than that tongue.
As a black woman, no.
But most
black
women.
I'm not going to lump all of who
not
I
all,
am.
Not
in
all,
one
not
word.
All, but most black women are like that. Very
I'm
nasty.
I'm not even going to say most. Sorry.
Very nasty.
Sorry. Am I nasty right now?
No, you're being sweet.
There you go.
You know why?
Jesse, there you go.
You know why?
Why?
Because
I can't wait. I can't wait for the answer. I can't wait.
Because you were raised in a white community.
I knew you were going to
say
it.
So you're not all black. You know what I'm saying? You're not like black girl.
You know what, Jesse?
And you don't
you're
rock.
You're the first person to say that to me that wasn't white.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's
but
a
you
new...
But you do know right, a, right?
That, no.
Yeah, if you were raised in a black community, mm-hmm. you would have that black attitude.
My mom was like, raised in an all-black
coming.
Town.
That's why she left.
No, she was there her whole schooling. She graduated,
I know, but she
got
left
her PhD.
Once she got, became an adult.
Yeah, but she grew up in an all-black town, and that's the first thing he said.
And what was the first thing she did once she became an adult? Got the H out of that black town, right?
Well, because she wanted to go to college.
Of course.
And so she went to a college.
And look how it paid off for you.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
No, thank you. I didn't agree to anything.
Case.
Nope.
You don't even act like a black woman.
How are we supposed to act?
Like you're acting.
No. I don't act like a black woman. So how are we supposed to act?
The way you're acting.
We're supposed to act like me.
Yes.
Okay. So there's one way to be?
Yes.
Are all black men supposed to act like you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's
isn't cool. that amazing?
I can't argue with you.
Isn't
that's
that amazing?
Opinion. No, I'm not going to fist bump that.
Hey, don't leave
no,
me hanging.
No, I can't. I got to leave you hanging on that one.
I
sorry.
Just gave you
with respect, I got to leave you hanging with that.
I just gave you an amazing compliment.
I don't know if it was. It was a little backhanded.
That was a serious, amazing compliment. I'd rather to see black women acting like they have sense the way you're doing than acting that. Other stuff they do.
What I'm saying is that anytime someone told me that I kind of act white, it was this thing of because black people aren't good enough.
No, so, because they're like loud.
So you're good enough because you act white. That's what it feels like. And so I can't fist bump you on that. Absolutely not. No.
Would you rather act black or act white?
I act black because I am black.
You do not act black.
I act like an educated black woman because I am an educated black woman.
Do you train other black women how to act like this?
No, I'm a dating and consent coach.
Oh, I see. Does being inclusive mean you are woke?
No. I mean, that word gets thrown around a lot. It just means that I'm accepting, and I put that word in my title because, again, there's a lot of coaches who aren't as accepting or don't have the resources to help someone who is living some like in a polyamorous lifestyle or you
what
know
is polyamorous?
That means I can't wait. So basically, if you're with one, if two people are together and they're exclusive, they're monogamous. So polyamorous is when you are dating, when one or both people are dating other people as well, or in relationships with other people
That's
as well.
Amazing.
2020.
Isn't that
it's
amazing?
2020.
Would you ever do that kind of a relationship?
Who says I haven't?
Ooh.
There's not enough time for all that.
See,
there's not enough time
you,
today for all that.
I knew you grew up in a white world.
Oh, maybe I grew up. You know what, though? Is that even what it is? I know some black polyamorous people, too, Jesse.
Really?
Yeah, it's not just a white thing.
So I looked up the word woke, and I called woke friends of mine. They're woke, and they said that woke means alert to injustice in society, such as racism.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty fair general definition, yeah.
There's no such thing as racism. That word is made up in order to deceive the blacks and control them.
I think that racism is a real thing. But you know what? But I won't disagree with you in the sense that I think that racism is a construct of American society. It's definitely very real, I feel, though. And I feel like if there is a more powerful race that has power over another one, you can't help but have feelings attached to that and judge groups because of it. And I think racism comes out of that disparity.
So then if I don't believe the word racist, I know it doesn't exist, but let's say it does, right? So are you saying that blacks are racist toward whites because now they have power over the whites?
Do black people have power over white
people? Yeah, they're everywhere now.
They?
The blacks.
Are you black?
What do you mean?
You say it like you're not.
How's that?
You said they, blacks, they do this. Blacks, they do that. Like, you say it as if you're removed from it. As if, like, you were a white person in blackface or something. I'm really trying. Seriously, you're kind of, like, I'm confused.
Why are you associated with that? Why can't I just have my own mindset and I see that the blacks are wrong?
Because you say it like that. You say the blacks like you're not.
But
like,
I'm,
I don't say the blacks because I know I'm black, so I just say, you know, I.
But why include yourself? You're nothing like them. Why include yourself?
Like them.
The blacks.
I'm nothing like them, but I am black. I'm just...
But you're not like them at all.
Like them, like they're all one kind of way?
You're not, like, angry, and you're not blaming the whites, and you're not begging for free stuff.
I have angry moments.
Well, I'm sure that all women are angry. I'm sure of that, but...
We have angry moments. Partially because of these kind of things, we get real angry. That's right.
Why?
That's right, Jesse.
Why? You make a good point, right?
I know. I make a lot of good points on this show.
Why do women hate the truth so much that they get angry when they hear it about themselves?
I would say that I know just as many men and other genders who get angry when they hear
but
the truth.
But those are not real men. Those are beta men. They have women mindsets.
No, I know some real alpha men.
No,
don't
real
like...
men don't get angry. Any man that has anger is a woman.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that. Not at all, no.
Do I get a bump on that?
Nope.
What would it take to get a bump?
Something that I agree with and something that's not totally stereotypical.
Would you ever date a woman?
I don't know.
Is there any possibility you would?
I like humans. And if I met a human that I mean, I'm in a relationship now, so I really don't think about it.
Right.
I don't know. Who knows? Here's what I want to say. I want to say that for me and everyone out there listening, I hope that you don't make a decision now that is your final decision forever in your life for the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Because things are constantly changing, huh?
Right. And I think there should be room for some level of evolution or surprise, like happy surprises, right? You know, for people, we didn't really talk about most, that's okay though, my dating coaching and that. But, you know, one of the things that I do encourage singles to do is be, know what their red flags are, know what their deal breakers are, but also be somewhat open to something that they don't expect. Because that's where, like, kind of amazing, magical things happen. When you leave some room for something that you didn't expect or something that you didn't plan for or something that, you know, that is totally unexpected. Like, amazing things happen. You meet amazing people that way, you know?
Should straight people be open to possibly meeting transgenders and homosexuals and lesbians? Should they be open to that in case they run into it? They can accept it?
I think that orientation is what it is. Some could argue that for me even, maybe I've always been not fully straight, but maybe, you know, because of where I grew up and because of American society, I only chose to date cisgendered men. I don't know. Maybe I've always kind of been in a place where I was more open to it, but I just didn't know until I met somebody who, you know, challenged what I thought. But I also know that there are people who are definitely hardcore, always going to be straight. And that's great. I have zero judgment about that. Right. There are people who are always going to be gay. There are people who are always going to be bisexual. There are people who are always going to be queer. Like, all these things, you know? And it's like, people are who they are, you know?
I want to ask you about your guidebook, but let me, just one last question, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you recommend, first of all, is this the first white person you ever dated?
No, I've dated so many white people. I grew up in a small town in Ohio, Jesse.
I told you.
That doesn't mean anything.
You're not like the blacks.
I've dated a lot of races, though.
Yeah. Okay. Do you recommend interracial relationships?
I recommend interracial relationships only if there is an acceptance of that person's ethnicity and a supporting of who that person is. If someone has negative feelings, if someone says what you said, all blacks are like this, no.
Not all, but most.
If someone said most blacks are like this, no.
Oh.
No. Don't do it. Don't date interracially if you're going to feel that way. Don't do it. Don't you do it. Whatever race it is, don't do it.
So, like, in your dating advice, when people call you up looking for advice, do they sometimes ask, well, I'm looking for a particular color or race?
I have had people do that, and I usually don't coach them.
Why not?
Because
don't they have a right to look for
they
a certain
absolutely
right?
do, but there's a different coach they should choose. I had someone call me up a few years ago, and they were like, I'm specifically looking for an Asian woman because I've heard they're very submissive,
right.
And I want somebody. And I was like, that's you can whatever you want, but I've said I don't think I'm the right coach for
why
you.
Not?
I go with my gut when I coach people. I don't just take everybody on. And
right.
for me, that just, it gave me a weird feeling. I could put it into words, but I'm not going to this for the sake of time. I just didn't get a good feeling from that. And
but
I
why
just
not hold judgment and give them what they're looking
because
for?
Because I don't have a lot of time. And the money I would make from that person wasn't worth it.
Are you a Christian?
I don't claim any religion.
So you're not a Christian?
I grew up with some Christian things in my life, but I don't claim anything.
Are you a Christian?
I'm spiritual.
Are you a Christian?
No, I don't claim it.
But meaning that you have it, but you don't claim it?
I don't know.
I'm asking, are you a Christian, yes or no?
I'll say no today.
Oh, okay.
But
you
also,
might be tomorrow.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to say something controversial with Jesse. I think a lot of religions have a similar through line. And I think a lot of there's a higher power. Most traditions have a higher power. There's a spiritual connection. There's hopefully a thing of do unto others or be nice to people. And so whatever that religion or spiritual tradition is, I'm on board. I believe in all of those things.
How about when people believe in Satan? Would you work with that kind of person?
I don't know enough about Satan and satanic things, to be honest.
But if they say, you know what, I'm not a Christian, I believe in Satan, not God, but I'm looking for
love. If somebody's nice for me, nice, as a coach?
Uh-huh.
If they gave me specifics, I don't know. See, again, I don't know enough about what it is to worship Satan to be
no,
able to
not
help.
That you may not know the
religion. I do need to know because I would have to set them up with other people who believe that, and I don't know enough about it. So I would turn them down.
Do you give advice to Christians who are looking for?
Yeah, of course.
You do?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You wrote the book, The Consent.
Yeah.
Consent Guidebook.
Yeah.
What is Consent Guidebook?
So my book, yes, I'm so glad you asked. Thanks for asking,
yeah,
Jesse.
Absolutely.
So my book, The Consent Guidebook, is basically, so at the height of the Me Too movement, one of the things that I noticed was that, and colleagues of mine noticed, is that clearly we assume that consent and boundaries is common sense, and clearly in some ways we found out that it isn't. And so I was like, you know, I was thinking back to like my sex ed that I had in school and health classes. And I'm like, we didn't learn about any consent back then. Did you? Do you remember any sort of sex ed class you had back in the day? Did they teach about boundaries and consent? Probably not.
God, they didn't.
There you go.
That's too bad.
Thank God they didn't.
I didn't know a way in the world. I'm going to ask some woman.
So you don't respect
so
people?
Do you want to do it? Let's do
it. It's not necessarily about that.
The heat is turned on naturally between the two of us.
Okay.
And we know what it means.
Well, do you always?
Oh, yeah.
You always know.
Oh, yeah.
You always
and
know.
And she does, too.
And what if she isn't interested?
What kind of man going to take the time like, do you want to have sex?
A respectful man?
Do you want to
A man
do
that
this?
Doesn't want to go to jail?
That's a beta man.
A man that doesn't want to go to jail.
Well, he better do that now because the women have messed up everything.
Well, we messed it up and you better get on board. Otherwise, you're all going to jail.
That's me. I don't bother with them. They're too crazy.
So you're single?
Oh, yeah.
This makes a lot of sense. Jesse.
Well, women want me though.
When you want to start dating, let me know.
No.
I'll help you out.
No. I don't
Listen,
need that.
I have
my natural knowing how to get a woman.
If
women are like buses.
But you're not dating anybody.
Did you know that?
Well, there's another one around the corner. I know it. Listen.
So you don't need to have a consent. You don't need.
But you're not dating. So where's the other one around the corner if you're not doing it?
If this woman want all this consent, and you got to ask her.
So you're basically opting out because you don't want to.
No, I just don't have time to do it now, and today it's too much trouble.
Okay, that's fair. That's a choice.
Women are too confused about themselves. I don't think.
Are you interested in men?
No.
Okay.
It's just that I'm not married, so I don't need the sex. Sex is only to make babies anyway.
Okay, sure.
You agree with that, right?
I think that people have different reasons they have sex. Yeah, there's different reasons.
Right, but primary reason is to make babies when you get married.
Biologically, sure.
Right on.
But humans are also pleasure-seeking people, so, you know, there's a pleasure aspect too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Just animals are too. There's some animals that do it for pleasure as well.
You're absolutely right. I'll
fist bump me on that
one. That's right. Because in that fallen state, human beings are acting like animals.
Well, no, that's something different. I'm saying there are actual animals.
You can't take the fist bump back.
No, I won't. But to clarify, there are animals who actually do have sex for pleasure, too.
Right. And that's a normal human beings, if they were not in that fallen state.
Normal. You got to find a different word other than normal.
They would not, if they were not in that fallen state, they would not be having sex for pleasure. But because they're in a fallen state, they're acting like animals.
What does normal mean to you? You use the word normal a lot. I'm just trying to get context what you think normal is. What is normal?
Anyone that's have risen above the fallen state.
Well, what is your definition of a fallen state? I know that's the name of the show, but what is the fallen state?
The fallen state is a man or woman or human beings who have fallen away from God, and Satan is their God.
Gotcha.
And so
gotcha.
In that fallen state, Satan has an animal nature,
mm-hmm.
and so they're really children of Satan,
mm-hmm.
and so they're acting like animals.
I gotcha.
You agree with that?
So you don't think humans are animals in some way?
In a fallen state, they are, but when they rise above it,
but
they're
not. But biologically, there's no connection to humans being...
Absolutely no.
Okay.
That's an abnormal state of being, but... I have you back to discuss that?
Maybe.
I do. Maybe
what? I don't know.
No.
If you're nice, maybe I'd come back sometime.
Am I being nice now?
You're being pretty nice.
Very nice.
In your own way.
What do you mean?
We got in the middle of an interview. It was a little rough.
In what way?
No, Jesse, I appreciate you. I appreciate your honesty.
Oh, I appreciate your honesty. That's
always.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about this, and then I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
What is enthusiastic consent?
Enthusiastic consent. So that's basically when you're saying, oh no, you just feel it out whenever the women are interested. Enthusiastic consent is not that. Enthusiastic consent is that there's zero question that person is like not on board with what's happening. So it's like, I know for sure that we're here and she wants it and she's ready and I have no hesitation at all. And I know she's like 100% a yes because I can tell her body language. She might have said it verbally to me that she's ready and interested in whatever it is. Could be a kiss, could be intercourse, could be whatever it is, right? Could be a hug. So enthusiastic consent is there's no like, oh, I kind of don't know if she wants me to do whatever this thing is that we're going to do. You know, there's no confusion around it. Enthusiasm, like they're a hell yes to whatever's happening.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Men know when women want to have sex.
Some men have no idea. And no. I will tell you how.
They do know.
And you're going to say beta man, but let me tell you. So do you know what a pickup artist is?
A man that goes around and like a slut maker.
I don't know what that means. So, okay, so here we go. So a pickup artist. So there's a community out there of men who teach men who maybe are having trouble meeting women. Teach them how to get women. So social skills, there might be pickup lines, there might be a fancy dress that they are like wardrobe they give them. There might be some like more like not so nice tactics to coerce as the word comes up. But I used to be a part of some of the workshops in that realm, and the men in those workshops would pay tens of thousands of dollars, Jesse, to learn these things, to learn how to be, like, just be comfortable around women. Some of them were virgins. Some of them were, all these categories. Anyway, these men were so amazing. And a lot of them wanted to be respectful. They just didn't know how to approach women. And, yeah, there was no, I don't know what I'm, anyway, long story short.
Tell that you're talking about slut makers. They teach them how to become slut makers.
Not necessarily. There is some, I'll be honest, like there are some pickup artists I know do skew more that way. It's like, find a girl, just bang them out, like, sex, sex, sex. But there's some pickup artists that genuinely want to help these guys just be better at communicating. Or not be so nervous about, like, I mean, I've coached guys who were literally so nervous to even... They couldn't even say hello to me. Like, hello. Hello was made.
Beta!
But also, if they're virgins, you know, I've known a lot of guys in that realm who were Christian, who were saving themselves. But because of that, they hadn't, you know, sometimes, you know, if you haven't gone on dates with people or you haven't socialized with whatever gender that you're interested in dating, there's nervousness, right? And so how do you approach somebody, you know? How do you get over the nervousness? Practice makes perfect, but if you've not had the practice, and by the way, I just want to say, if anyone is a virgin or saving themselves, it's fine. Like, I have no judgment, just meaning, like, practice makes perfect, and if you haven't had that practice, it's way harder. And it's this whole mountain you got to climb, and there's all these insecurities, and how do I even begin? So there's some coaching that goes along with that, too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you agree, then, that if women need to be enthusiastic?
Mm-hmm.
Consent thing, should men make women be that way toward them too?
Sure.
Before
everyone, everybody.
So the men should make the women ask, is this the right time? Do you want to do this?
Yeah, and you can.
Are you happy about it?
Sure.
All right.
Everyone should be enthusiastic. Also, Jesse, it doesn't necessarily have to be words. Because sometimes you can say words and you're feeling, you might not feel super ready, even though like, you're like, I could tell you, yeah, but you could tell by my tone, maybe, that I'm not enthusiastic.
Right. That's
so
why I said men can tell when women want to have sex.
Right. Sometimes. But if someone is not being present and isn't paying attention to their partner, they just hear a yes and they're just headed towards the end goal, they might just be like, well, she said yes, so I'm just going to go for it. So it's really important to be present, like we are right now, right?
Yeah,
we're
present
with each other.
Right.
So I'd be able to tell if you were uncomfortable because I'm paying attention to you. It's not just about my needs.
What are you thinking now?
I'm thinking that you're listening to me and I like it. I think that you're learning something from me today.
I
feel that makes me happy.
Do I look like I'm ready?
I don't know.
I don't know.
That made me a little uncomfortable.
Do I look enthusiastic?
Yeah, and a little confused.
So I got to put you on the hot seat. I got to heat this interview up, folks, and throw my guests
on
the hot seat.
I'm already hot in here.
Oh, you just reminded me of something.
Okay.
Do you agree with me that women who have sex out of
wedlock... I'm probably going to say no, but go ahead.
Women who have sex out of wedlock...
Nope.
...are sluts...
Nope.
...and men who have sex... with women out of wedlock, are slut makers?
No, because remember the first thing we talked about at the beginning of this was how when I started my dating coach brand and business 12 years ago, I was blogging and writing about the double standards between men and women. And I was very, at the time, I've said it before, I was very binary about it. I was like, men and women, when now, again, there's all of these different, like, genders and identities right. and all these things. But yeah. at the time, I will, no, I'm not a slut shamer. As long as everything's consensual, people make the choices, as long as everyone's on board, great. I will never say, you know, just like I wouldn't say if someone's saving themselves for marriage that they're, you know, whatever word you want to put there. I have zero judgment about any of it. Amazing. As long as they're safe and consensual.
So you think it's okay for a woman to be a slut?
I don't, you know what? It's interesting you say that because a lot of people use that word. It's like they're taking the word back and like, yeah, I'm a slut. I don't, I just don't like, just like the N word. Like in rap music and stuff, there's certain words I just don't like.
I interview Amber Rose on here. You know who
Amazing,
she is?
Amazing, I do.
She is a slut.
Well, she has a slut walk. She has the whole slut. I know. But again, she uses what it. What a slut. It. I don't like it. I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't even say it to her. I don't like the word. I don't like how the word makes me feel to say it.
Yeah.
So I just don't use the word.
I interview Miss New York.
Yes.
She's a whore.
Okay, well, I can't. I,
she
I,
said
I don't
a
have any
comments.
Are you trying to make me not fist bump you ever again on the show? Because that's the road you're going down, Jesse. That's where we're headed.
I'm just saying what the woman said. She said, I asked her, would you rather be a slut mm-hmm. or would you rather be a hoe?
Yeah.
She said she'd rather be a hoe.
I'd rather be neither.
So I got to put you on the hot seat.
I feel like I'm already in it. All right, go for it. Come on.
Okay, I need you to answer these as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Do you believe in Jesus?
We already went through that one.
And do you believe in Jesus?
I believe it was a person.
Does toxic femininity exist?
Yeah.
Is abortion worse than slavery?
Oh my God, I have no idea how to answer that. I can't, I have no, I don't know, I have no idea.
Do you prefer to date an alpha male or a beta male?
I've dated both, so I don't know.
What do you prefer? Since you dated both, you should know what
it depends
you prefer.
On my, it depends on where I am in my life. I, like, at times I'm like, ooh, beta. At times I'm like, ooh, alpha. I'm tricky.
I can tell. You're making me feel uncomfortable.
No.
Don't make
I don't believe it. Your eyes say you're lying.
Is it right that Muslims make women wear those burqa?
I feel like it's part of their tradition, so I have zero. I can't. Who am I to judge that?
You don't know if it's right that they are made to. They make women wear those things. Men don't wear them.
I know Muslim women who wear them, and they make the choice themselves to wear them. So I that's all I can say about that.
On a scale between 1 to 10, how creepy is Joe Biden?
Oh man, you know you stumped me. I don't know how to answer it, and I there is a slight creep factor. I'm not sure. I don't know. Let's just say there's a slight creep factor.
Are you okay with transgenders dominating women's sport?
Whew. I don't know how I feel about it.
Are whites today responsible for black people's problems?
In a systemic sense, partially, maybe, yeah.
Are you okay celebrating Black History Month?
Yeah, I'm
you
celebrating
celebrate Black
it,
History
yeah.
Month. Will you celebrate White History Month with me?
What month is that?
July.
That's my birthday month, so no.
You won't celebrate White History
Month? July is birthday month, all month, so no.
How about we change it to August? Would you celebrate White History Month?
If you're, well, you're not white, I don't think. So it would be weird for us to celebrate it. If my boyfriend asked me to, it would depend on what, he would never, because he's, anyway, he wouldn't. But if he had a good argument, I might.
Should white people celebrate Black History Month?
Yes, but I mean to celebrate, it's more of like this month should be more of an acknowledgement. Like I've actually on my social media, I've been posting like some, I grew up dancing, like trained dancing and stuff.
Amazing.
And so I've been posting like Josephine Baker and certain black dancers from history because I'm like, this is the month to celebrate black history and I want to celebrate black dancers. And I'm like, that's fun. So if someone's like, yeah, I'll celebrate Josephine Baker with you, a white person, I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
I need quick answers.
Sorry. So, are you saying I'm long-winded?
Oof. Long-winded ain't the word.
I told you.
Should white people celebrate Black History Month?
Yes.
Do you love white people?
I like them.
Do you love white people?
Love?
Do you love white people?
I love people.
Do you love white people?
Love? I like them.
Do you love white people?
I love all people.
Do you love white people?
That's my answer.
Do you love black people?
I do, because I am a black person.
Do you love Jewish people?
I like Jewish people.
Do you love the Jews?
I like all people. I like Jewish people. The only category I love are black people because I am black and I like everybody else.
So
I love
you just
people.
Love the blacks, but you like everybody else.
Well, I am that. I love myself.
Right, and so you just love the blacks and like everybody else?
I don't like the way you're saying it. I love all people, and that's how I started this.
Oh.
Final answer.
May I tell you why? I started White History Month. This is our third year coming up.
You started it?
Yes.
I should have done my research. Okay, go on. Go on.
My last real fast answer question.
Okay.
Who is the most racist, Beyonce or Colin Kaepernick?
No.
Who are the most racist?
No. Neither.
Are they both the same equal racist?
Neither are racist. I think both of them are speaking out for causes.
Did you have fun?
At times. No, Jesse, I do appreciate you, though. Yeah. I appreciate you listening to my opinion and my view of my life and my work.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it very much.
So do you have an event coming up, anything you want to publicize or announce?
So I am about to launch a monthly subscription website where people can basically pay monthly to get resources, dating tips, consent tips, interviews from psychotherapists and people who really need help in the dating world. So that'll be on my website, thedatingadvicegirl.com. I'm on all the social medias, Erin Tillman, The Dating Advice Girl.
You are amazing. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jesse. A pleasure.
Same here. And thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate hearing from you about, as I do with all shows. And don't forget to like, follow, tweet, subscribe, share, and Sunny. And I do appreciate it. All the merch and everything, all right? Thank you so much.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Pilots are more often men than women. That's not due to some biological difference. That's due to social differences.
I remember once I got on a small plane and there were two female pilots. I felt very concerned. Whereas had it been two men, I would have felt no concern.
What we would study is why you would feel that way. And it's not just men and women as well. I mean, these things are always working intersectionally. So it's the white men who are more likely to be the pilot, and women of all races and men of color who tend to be moved into, you know, tend to be in the, have a harder time in those powerful positions.
The Fallen State.
Watching The Fallen State. We need your continued support. Donate to my nonprofit here. Subscribe and like the videos here. And tell everybody and their mama about the show.